Last week we discussed observance of mitzvahs on the part of conversion candidates, and it was a kvetched connection to the parsha. Today's topic is a continuation of the topic, but is very much in the parsha, and that is observance of Shabbos on the part of non-Jews and conversion candidates. How is that in the parsha? So if you look at the first page of your handout, there's a medrash that's quoted here in the Yalkut Shimoni on the pasuk "Sharmu b'nei Yisrael Shabbos," which has a parallel in a medrash rabbah in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim. So the medrash records over here on Parshas Kisisa, "Sharmu b'nei Yisrael Shabbos sheshes yamim yasam lacha." The bottom paragraph here in column one, "Amr Rav Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina kusi sheshamer es Shabbos ad shelo kibel es amila." Chayiv Misa. If a non-Jew observes Shabbos before he accepts upon himself the mitzvah of Mila, he is Chayiv Misa. Lama shelo nistavela. He was not commanded to observe Shabbos. Ve'ena mishamer sakid tikuna. And therefore, by the fact that he hasn't been commanded, he is definitionally not keeping it according to its strictures. Umar Reisa Lomar Mi Shishamer Sashabis Chayiv Misa. What is the basis for suggesting that a non-Jew who keeps Shabbos is Chayiv Misa? Amr Chia Bar Abba Benoik Sheba Olam. The way the world works, Melech Umatrona Sheyoshvin Umasichin Zemzeh. So you have the king and you have the matron who are sitting and schmoozing. So if someone else comes and intrudes on the party, is he not Chayiv Misa? Shabbos is that sign, that special connection between Kadosh Baruch and Klal Yisrael. Shenemar b'ni uvein b'nei Yisrael os hi. Lefika kusi shaba umachnis atzma b'neiim Chayiv Misa. So if a non-Jew comes and spoils the party, intrudes, then he is Chayiv Misa. So this citation of the Medrash is actually an important marmakom in the discussion that was had among poskim about the famous case of Mal V'lo Tavol in 1848. So in the rabbinic literature, there's this famous case that the Binyan Tzion, which you have in the last excerpt here, describes, of a ger Marokai, a Moroccan ger, who came to Yerushalayim to convert with the Ashkenazic Beis Din. The Rav of the time was the Shmuel Salant, and he was holding by Geirus, and he underwent a bris milah l'shem Geirus, but the plan was that he would have the tefillah before Shabbos, and then he wasn't fully recovered from the milah yet, and he had was unable to complete the tefillah before Shabbos. So come Shabbos, and he is what we call a mal v'lo tavol. And after all, we say mal v'lo tavol ki lo mal, that two critical components of Geirus are milah and tefillah. So he underwent milah, he hadn't yet undergone tefillah. And the way the story is presented is he was sitting at his home this Shabbos in the state of Mal V'lo Tavol, and he was being Shomer Shabbos. And Shmuel Salant was out of town. He was in Europe on a fundraising mission, so all the good shilohs happen when the Rav's away. So he was out of town, but the second in command, the assistant rabbi, was Rav Asher Lemel, the Abdesdin of Yerushalayim, of the Akihil of Yerushalayim, who probably would have been forgotten from history if not for this event. Although he was a Talmid Chacham of note in his own right. So Rav Asher Lemel gave instructions to his messenger to go tell this Moroccan ger that he should be Michal Shabbos, because after all, a Goy Sheshabbos is Chayiv Misa, and he's still a Goy. If he hasn't yet been Tovel L'Shem Geirus, he's not yet Jewish. So they commanded him to be Michal Shabbos, so he wrote two letters, he did some act of Chil Shabbos, and was very upset about it. And then that created this whole uproar against Rav Asher Lemel that how can he paskin this way? And we'll talk about that pulmis in a few minutes. Historical curiosity, the following always bothered me, that instances of Geirus in the mid-19th century and before were very rare. How many Geirim were there in all of most of Europe? As you mentioned, in the past, Geirus was illegal. Even in Yerushalayim, who wanted to convert under the Ottoman Empire in the 1840s. So it always troubled me, from a historical perspective, that there were two very famous Geirim that happened in Yerushalayim in 1848. One of them was this one of the Moroccan Geir, and the other one was the famous story of Warder Crescent, which I might have mentioned in a shir in the past, but you'll forgive me if I'm repeating myself. Definitely not in this forum. So Warder Crescent was this Pennsylvanian, what we today would call an evangelical, who was interested in proselytizing as a Christian, and he wanted to move to Eretz Yisrael, so he secured an appointment as the first American consul general to Jerusalem under the Ottoman Empire from Secretary of State John Calhoun. So he went with his letters, got on a boat, went to Yerushalayim, and by the time he got there, they had already sent a message that the appointment had been retracted because some people told the Secretary of State that this guy wasn't the person that you want for the job. So he got to Yerushalayim and didn't have a job. But he hung out there, and somehow he gravitated towards Yadus and became interested in becoming Jewish, and eventually with Megayer in 1848. The postscript was he came back to America to close out his affairs and to divorce his non-Jewish wife, and his wife's family sued him for lunacy. So there was a court case in Pennsylvania where he was accused of lunacy for converting to Judaism, because you got to be crazy to do something like that. So he actually lost the initial case and then won on appeal and went back to Eretz Yisrael and lived happily ever after. So it always bothered me. These two celebrated cases happened in the same year in Yerushalayim. Till a year or two ago, on the Sfarim blog, Dan Rabinowitz wrote an essay in which he demonstrated through pretty compelling evidence that these two people were one and the same. That the famous Ger Marakai was really a Ger Amerikai, and there's a letter missing in the Shuvah Divin Tzion. So this is an American Ger, Warder Gresson, who we know well. You could Google him. Who went to Yerushalayim, and in addition to the postscript about his trial in America, was famous for bringing this discussion to the halachic world. Be that as it may, so in order to understand that fullness, let's talk about the Isser of Goy Sheshavas, and then how that is relevant to a Malvel Atavel, and potentially to a Geirus candidate who hasn't even been Mal. So there's a more expansive presentation of this Isser in the Medrash than we have in the Gemara, but you have to look at the Gemara, Sanhedrin and Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara says, three lines from the bottom, Amrei Shlakish, Oved Kochavim Sheshavas Chayav Misa. A non-Jew who observes Shabbos is Chayav Misa, Shenamar, V'yom V'layla Lo Yishbosu. Pasuk in Parshas Noach. V'yom Amar Azhara Shelehen Zohi Misasan. Ravina filu shein b'Shabbos. The Isser Goy Sheshavas doesn't only apply if he is Shoveis on Shabbos. If he picks any day during the week and observes that as Shabbos, it's still a violation of this Isser. Why should that be the case? So look at Rashi here, three lines from the bottom. Lo tema shvisa dekamer ishlakish l'shem chova kamer. It's not just that it's a problem if a Nachri observes Shabbos because he feels he's fulfilling the obligation of Shabbos. Delo l'chavin l'shbos. Kegon b'Shabbos shehu yom shvisa l'Yisrael lo echa b'Shabbos sheshov simbo the census took out hanosrim. So it's not only if he observes Shabbos in order to fulfill some religious obligation, be it on our Shabbos or be it on Sunday, because he's a religious Christian. Ella menucha ba'alma ka'asur lehu. No, the Isser is even resting for the sake of resting. That a non-Jew is not permitted to spend an entire day absent from Malacha, even if it is not Shabbos and not Sunday, and it's not a day that any religion holds as its day of rest. So says Rashi here, Sanhedrin, Nun Ches Amud Beis. Take a look at the Rambam, Hilchos Malachim Perek Yud Halacha Tes. So we quoted this Rambam last week in the context of Talmud Torah. It's the same Rambam for Goy Sheshavas. The Rambam writes, Akum Sheasak B'Torah Chayiv Misa Lo Yasak El B'Sheva Misa Shalem Levad. Fine. V'chein Akum Sheshavas Afilu B'Yomi Masachol. If a non-Jew observes a day of rest even on any weekday, Im asau la'atzmo kamo Shabbos, if he makes it for himself as Shabbos chayim misa, vein zarch lomar im asamoi la'atzmo, it makes a yantiv, that's even worse. Klolo shel davar, ein manichan osan l'chadish das, v'lasos mitzvos la'atzman midaita. The samo agoy sheshavas is a problem because he is being mechadish das la'atzmo, he's creating a new religion, and that is a problem. Now, no one actually says this out explicitly, I don't think, but one could, in theory, argue, according to the Rambam, if the problem is being Mechadish Das, that if a non-Jew observes Shabbos as part of, let's say, a situation of Malvel or Tavel, or even if he's on the path to Geiris, then maybe that's not as egregious a violation of this Isser. But we'll come back to that. There is a noteworthy comment to the Meiri, which is a different perspective on this Isser. The Meiri here on Nuchesam and Beis, here it's printed as Nuchesam and Aleph. So he writes over here, what is the problem of Guy Sheshavas? It's next to footnote 198 in this edition, in the first column in the middle. Shezanira kimi shehum imnei amenu. That he's going to present himself, if he keeps Shabbos or learns Torah, he's going to present himself as one of us, and people are going to learn from him. So if he becomes a Bucky in Shas, then people are going to start asking him Shilas. That's what he writes in the bottom of that paragraph. The Koshikadim Chakiraso Al Das Lavo Atachlis Shlemus Tarasenu. But if his motivation in learning Torah and maybe even for keeping Shabbos is to come to an understanding of Shlemus Tarasenu, Achim Yimsa'ena Shlema Yafsibiskayer, to the point that if he finds it to be the truth, he may decide to be Megayer, as we mentioned last week in a slightly different context. Even if he keeps part of the Torah, but his intention is on a path for Geiris, that would not be a violation of Talmud Torah Fanachri. And if you put the two together, maybe it's not a violation of Isser Shabbos Fanachri as well. There is a Tosas Yishanim in Yevamos on Daf Memches Amud Beis, which hardly anyone quotes. Rabbi Bleich quotes this in his article on this topic, which is reprinted in Contemporary Halachic Problems. I forget if it's Volume 3 or Volume 4. Rabbi Avadia quotes this in a tshuva, and this wonderful sefer that came out a couple of years ago called Toldos Noach. It's about a 900-page sefer on Hilchos B'nei Noach, which is a pretty thorough work. He quotes this Tosas Yishanim as well. But it's not quoted L'Halacha. The Tosas Yishanim writes explicitly, at least in one day, that if you have a ger who is not yet ger, who's in the process of studying for geiris, there is no isser of him keeping Shabbos. So that's not quoted in normative sources, that is a definitely a mar makom to note. So let's go back to the medrash that we started with. The Medrash that we started with has a, as I said, more expansive formulation than the Gemara in Sanhedrin, but it has a noteworthy phrase. The first line was that Goy Sheshamer Es HaShabbos Ad Shelo Kibel Es HaMila Is Chayav Misa. That if a non-Jew observes Shabbos before accepting upon himself the mitzvah of Mila, he's Chayav Misa. Sounds like once he accepts upon himself the mitzvah of Mila, even if he hasn't yet been Tovel, hasn't completed the Geiris process, still there is no Isser of keeping Shabbos. So there is a correspondence on this topic of Malvel or Tovel between Rav Asher Lammel, the Abdes in Rishalayim, who was roundly criticized as soon as the next morning by the other Rabbanim in town, and the Binyan Tzion, Rav Ellinger, who was the editor of Torah Journal, and I think this originally appeared in Shomer Tzion HaNe'emana, but there was the correspondence. If you look here in Siman Sadi Aleph, you have the Shaila from Rav Asher Lammel and the response of the Binyan Tzion. So Binyan Tzion was asked to comment on the events that happened in Yerushalayim and whether Rav Asher Lammel is correct in instructing this Moroccan or American or Mr. Cresson to be Michal Shabbos on that faithful Shabbos. So at first glance, it's a Befeish Gemara. Goyish Shabbos is Chayav Misa. If you haven't been totally Elishem Geris, then you're still a guy, and then you're not allowed to keep Shabbos. So at first glance, Rav Asher Lammel is absolutely correct. So the Binyan Tzion writes that he did some research. He asked around in the places where they're Mekabel Gerim, and everyone told him that no one has ever makbid that a Ger shouldn't keep Shabbos between Mila and Tvila. So what could this be based on? So he does not quote the Medrash that we just quoted, but he says, first of all, it's on some level illogical. as we know that Shabbos is considered to be a bris, and we know that Milah is considered to be a bris. So once you have this person holding by Geiris who accepts upon himself the bris of Milah, so how are we going to turn around to him and tell him that he's not allowed to partake of the bris of Shabbos? So he writes, that is illogical. We're going to tell him to, he just accepted one bris, and we're going to instruct him to be mayfair another bris. So he thinks that doesn't make so much sense. So he says, essentially, this guy who is mal v'lo taval is Yatsa Mechlal Akum. On some level, he is no longer a full-fledged Nachri, Mechlal Yisrael Oba, but he hasn't yet become a full-fledged Jew. But that could have nafkaminas for allowing him to keep Shabbos. And he points to the model of Mara. Klal Yisrael in the Midbar left Mitzrayim. We know the model of Geirus is Mamed Har Sinai, and yet the Bnei Yisrael were commanded to keep Shabbos in Mara. So at that point, they already had Milah before they left Mitzrayim, but they hadn't yet had the Tevilah of Kabbalah Satorah. So just like Bnei Yisrael were Mitzuvah in Shabbos at Mara, so they had this very status of Malvul HaTaval, so too a Ger, who is Malvul HaTaval, is also authorized to keep Shabbos. That is the Maskana of the Binyan Siyam, that the correct psak lemaisa is that this mal v'lo taval should keep Shabbos, so definitely there's no iser in doing so. There is a tshuva, the minchas alazer, the munkacher, in chela gimel, I think it's him in test, but I forgot to look for it before I got here, where he was dealing with a similar shayla, le'inyan kavuras Yisrael. So as far as Kavuras Yisrael is concerned, so that's more minhagim than strict halacha, but there's a very strong practice of not burying Nachrim in a Jewish cemetery. So the shayla he was dealing with was a parallel shayla of a conversion candidate who was holding by completed the Geiris, who was Malvul HaTaval, and passed away. And he allowed burying the Kfuras Yisrael berichuk Shmona Amos. We had a similar situation a number of years ago. I don't know if you know Rabbi Moshe Mirsky, moved to town last year, now the chaplain at Daughters of Miriam. So he, before he moved to Passaic, he was a rabbi in Schenectady for a while. So he was dealing with this very fine Geiris candidate who was holding by Geiris. The only ikav was that he was still civilly married to his non-Jewish wife, and it was dragging on through the court system, and we weren't comfortable converting him until the civil divorce was complete. So he was languishing, waiting to convert, and Rabbi Mirsky really could have used him for minyan because it's Schenectady after all. But unfortunately, before he was able to convert, he passed away. So there, even though he wasn't even mal yet, l'shem milah, but our Abbez, the Gedaliah of Shwartz, Shalita, thought that along the lines of the Minchas Elazar, so even if he hadn't yet done a milah, but he's holding there, so you could allow for Kavuras Yisrael berichuk Shmona Amos. You'd say the same thing for a woman. A woman has no milah. So what's the equivalent of a mal v'lo taval by a woman? So if she's mekalem mitzvah, she's basically holding by Geiris, but she's just mechusset tefillah, in that situation, so you could consider being makel for Kavuras Yisrael and invoking this kind of notion of Yatsa Mechlal Akum Ulechlal Yisrael Lo Ba. As a practical matter, the general practice of Batei Din is to advise, you're leaving aside the Shaila of Mal V'lo Taval, so if someone is Mal V'lo Taval, we generally tell them not to be Mechal Shabbos in interim. If all things are equal, so it's probably better to avoid the Shaila and have someone, definitely if you do, if you're not doing a full medical Mila, you're doing a Hatafa, so it's easy to do the Hatafa and then the Mila, and then the Tevila pretty soon afterwards. If you have to do a full-fledged Mila, sometimes it takes a while to recover and you have no choice but to wait for potentially multiple Shabbatos until the wound is recovered and go to the mikveh. So we would tell such a person they should be Shomer Shabbos totally, not to engage in any Chil Shabbos. What about we're not yet a Mila, conversion candidate before Mila. So the more common practice among Batei Din is to advise such people, if there's some suffix about whether they may be Jewish, some questionable previous conversion, or some Shaila in their Yadut, so then any suffix holder that a person Jewish, we tell them, keep Shabbos fully, because the consequences of a Jew with Mechal Shabbos are far worse than the consequences of a guy who was Shabbos, whatever Gai Shabbos Chai Misa means. It's presumably less egregious than the Chiyuv Skila for a Yisrael with Mechal Shabbos. But if you have a conversion candidate who is not Jewish at all, no question whatsoever, so then the more common practice among Batei Din is to advise them to be Mechal Shabbos B'kol Shu with some kind of a malacha. Rav Schwartz is of the opinion, based on this Minchas Lazer, this whole approach, which we saw, there's definitely evidence for in the Lashonos of some Rishonim, that if you have someone who's really into the process, then he's allowed to keep Shabbos, even if he's not yet Mal and not yet Jewish at all. Because he's in the process, he's not doing it l'shem of an azara. He's not doing it to fool people. He's not doing it l'chadish da'asacheres. He's doing it because as the Meiri has, he wants to learn how to do it properly. So he thinks that there may be grounds for allowing full Shmir Shabbos. Again, my sense is the more common practice among Batei Din is to insist on some kind of Maisa of Chil Shabbos. Does it have to be Chil Shabbos in a Malacha Daraisa? Not sure. I was looking around for any source material on that. I'm not sure. As we tell people, turn on a light. Nowadays, light may be an Isser Malacha Darabanan, since Obama got rid of incandescent bulbs. It may be hard to find a Malacha Daraisa. Be that as it may, the general practice of Batei Din is to advise some kind of Chil Shabbos, but there are poskim who are less concerned about it and think that there are grounds to allow for full Shmir Shabbos for someone who is seriously in the process for Geiris. Yeah? Right.
So you're making it sound like it's a big dilemma that they're going to finish Shmir Shabbos.
Right.
Is there an issue? If he keeps Shabbos, it's an issue. Then maybe, but if, let's say he doesn't keep Shabbos, is there an issue? He's not here yet. What's the issue exactly?
So he may be a quasi Jew on some level.
And that's enough to make him Chayav Mitzvos?
So that's chayv and mitzvos, right? So most of the formulations are that it's mutter to keep Shabbos, not that you're mechayiv. He wanted to keep Shabbos. It's more difficult to argue that you're mechayiv to keep Shabbos if you argue with the Mara example that Klai, so I'm mechayiv to keep Shabbos on Mara. So if that's a model, so maybe he should be mechayiv to keep Shabbos because there's some, as far as those mitzvos, maybe Mavol Tavla has such a status. But most of the poskim have the formulation of mutter. But once it's mutter, so then it may be advisable. Because why are you telling, if he's allowed to keep Shabbos, why are you telling him not to keep Shabbos?
So this Rav in Yishmael who got
Cut over
the head, whatever his name is. So we're saying it didn't really create any big problem.
Created a problem because everyone was upset that why did you tell the sincere Ger to be Michal Shabbos? It pained him so greatly because he wanted to finally keep Shabbos. And he was told he's not allowed to. Okay.
I'm putting aside the Akhat Shimoni, series of the Gemara, the Yom Lai Loli Shposu.
Right.
Why did they give the Heter the idea that they asked about the Abos, if they didn't have the status of Bnei Noach, let them do Malacha at night?
Right, so that's, some Achron had that suggestion, that maybe that you can get out of the problem by Bnei Noach, it's Laila halacha achar yom, and by Yasas yom halacha achar laila, to get out of the problem. That's one of the answers to how the Abbas kept.
So
that's one.
Why did they say that could have been an answer for what he, Rosh Lama, could have told this person, right?
So if you accept that would be a way out, I mean, you could argue that the Isser is to keep it likely Yisrael, keep Shabbos.
The fact that the Gemara says that even Yom Sheni indicates that.
But maybe Yom Sheni is our halachic Yom Sheni, which is Yom Hachar Laila. It's not Bechreach. Some Achronim suggest that. It's not Bechreach that that's going to solve the problem. And some suggest that maybe the Avos where tzitzis b'shus harabim,
right?
Because
right?
If it's a right, if you're mechuyev, so then it's a masoi. Sorry, if you're mechuyev, then it's not a masoi, and you're fine. And if you're not mechuyev, then it's a masoi, and you violate a sarsa. Well, I think Rabbi Bleich pointed out that's also not bechreach, because maybe if you're mekayim a mitzvah in a mitzvosa, does that necessarily make it a masoi? So you're not mechuyev, maybe it's a kiyum. So that's also not bechreach. Some talk about melacha shedes yichel gufa. So if you're doing a melacha, the sefer told us another quote is from Parashas Drachim. If you're doing a melacha for the sake of not being mechal Shabbos, but you don't want the totzah, so that's a melacha shedes yichel gufa. So does that end up being a melacha? So the Parashas Drachim says that apparently in the context of the Avos also. So if they did a malacha just to get out of this problem, so they didn't violate the Yisra Gosh Shabbos because of malacha Shem Zichul Kufa, I was being a Jew, it wasn't a malacha. Just to conclude, we alluded to last time the problem, the Gemara based on Kafalith, of the concern of Marba B'Shirim and the Yisra to be Mazmin a Ben Noach, a Nachri, to a Yantav Suda. So we're concerned about Shema Yarbe Bishvila, so you can't invite a Nachri to a Yantav Suda. That poses a potentially insurmountable problem if you want to have the Gavis candidate over for a Yantav meal. There's a Tshuva in the Minchas Yitzchak who talks about a hotel. If you have non-Jewish staff in a hotel kitchen, so then can you have a Jewish proprietor in a hotel, but you have non-Jewish staff in the hotel kitchen, and can you then have non-Jewish guests in this hotel? Minchas Yitzchak Chelibes Simit Kuf Yuches. So he suggests that maybe if all the cooking is going on in the kitchen, so then, and no Jew has any yad in any of the preparation, so Marbe B'Shirim is only Nisad Rabbanim. Amir La'akim is only Nisad Rabbanim. So Shvus B'Shvus V'makom Eva, if you're going to have a no non-Jews allowed policy, put up a sign on the door of the hotel that may engender Eva. So in that kind of situation, so maybe because it's a shvus, the shvus, b'makom eva, you can allow for these preparations to go on. So Rav Schachter said, in the context of a Gavis candidate, so in theory, if you have a in a hotel setting, or you have non-Jewish help in the kitchen, and they don't let you into the kitchen, so then maybe you could have the same arrangement, but that's not really so practical. Rav Schwartz is a big makel about this, along the lines of that Minchas Elazar, and the suggestion that even before Mila, someone may have the status of a Yasa Mechlal Akim if he's ready significantly along the process. So maybe this is all an Isser Durabban and Shemar Yarba, Chashash, that maybe you'll come Shemar Yarba. So under those circumstances, maybe the grounds to be makels, that's a big Kiddush, but he tells people that La Halacha.
The different reasons brought down, does that have any effect on us? Why you can't? The
Yalkut
brings down one reason that you might not do a
Kitzikuna. Right, but the overwhelming thrust of the Yalkut is that it's a relationship issue.
But not at the beginning of it, right? It means that you might not do a Kitzikuna.
Right, so figure out what that means.
I don't know what that means. It sounds like two different reasons almost. And
then
the Rambam has a different reason, that people can ask
him
shaylos and someone else
has
another reason. Does that matter?
No, the Miri says. That's exactly what we're saying. So if it's, according to the Miri, there's much more of a tzad to be made on these things. If it's a matter, according to the Rambam also, it's a matter of das. According to Rashi, that it's an absolute categorical problem of keeping any days of Yom Menucha, so then there'd be much weaker grounds to be made. So, yeah,
right.
That's
so
what we're saying. Yes.
But is the Yalkut saying two different reasons?
I don't know how much stock we put into Midrashim to create halachic. That's
well,
why.
He see and did. No,
he didn't call it the
Medrash. He
didn't bring it. Right. So how much weight that has halachically may be questionable.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not sure exactly what tikkuna might not mean in halacha. It might mean.
Because it doesn't matter, right? Because if you don't think it's
tikkuna. Right. I'm not sure what tikkuna means.
The Minchas Kedach brings a shayla in terms of a Sufi.
Which
you
I
find you find that a Sufi,
right?
On the one hand, amongst Goyim,
right?
On the one hand, he's Israel, Matzav, Achlim, Shnatz. On the one hand, he
right.
Has, maybe he's a Goy.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he's Israel, he's keep Shabbos. Well, if he keeps Shabbos, if he's a Goy, Akum Shem is Chaymisa. What should he do?
Right.
So some of these answers come up in terms of that. It's the same, this is a similar idea.
Right.
So one of the I think I don't know what he means. What we should have been discussing is whether, in terms of whether if he's doing it dafka, he's not being mechayish kas. Is one of the answers in terms of mm-hmm. that, or whether that it does things chati shir.
Right, has to choose another suggestion for the avos. Right.
Very racks. They do the malacha. This is it true that this malacha of a guy is not malacha's Shabbos necessarily. If he would do what would be malacha by him, like he would move rocks around.
Yes, that's a discussion. That's a suggestion that some have that, especially Rashi, it may be tirch oriented,
right.
So it doesn't even have to be halacha malacha, right?
Right.